Psalm 34:5. I just want to show you a couple of things. And but before I do that, I want to read you this poem I found a long time ago. I counted dollars while God counted crosses. I counted gains while He counted crosses. I counted my worth by the things gained in store, but He sized me up by the scars that I bore. I coveted honors and sought for degrees. He wept as He counted the hours on my knees. And I never knew till one day at someone's grave how vain are these things that we spend life to save. And that brings me to my sermon today, Psalm 35. We'll start with verse 1. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. Man, I like that. And let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Now, after you do all that, you'll go to Psalm 35. Verse 34. Look at verse 3. O mighty the Lord with me. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. If anybody knows the life of David, who wrote this psalm, they'll know he was persecuted, he was lied on, he was chased. He was threatened. He lost everything he had more than once, but he continued to plead to the Lord and trust the Lord. And that's why he said there in verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, if you've been living over 12 years, you've had troubles. Amen? If you've been married, you've had troubles. If you have children, your troubles are never ending. Amen. If you have grandchildren, now they're multiplied. Hey, if you're full of trouble. But you know what? I'm glad that one day, March the 5th, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and He saved him out of all his troubles, just like He did David. In the end, David wins. In the end, we win. Amen? And I want you to notice verse 5 in chapter 34. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. They looked unto Him. That's who we look to. Now, when somebody's looking to the Lord, they have a look on their face. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know your countenance reveals the inside of you?
Yes.
You can tell when somebody's sad by looking at them, can't you? You can tell when they're proud of spirit by looking at them. You can tell when they're humble by looking at them. Most of the time, am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell if they're angry or they're happy or they're sad, whatever. There are some. So I got to think about that word looks. So I looked up that word in some scriptures, not nearly all of them, but I picked out a few. Now, as David looked to the Lord, and as they looked unto Him, there's some other looks in the Bible. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. Turn over there real quick. There's a look in Psalm 5:3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Now he's talking to the Lord. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now there's a look of faith. Now every morning we'll direct our prayer to the Lord and look up to Him.
Amen.
Some people look to the boss man every morning to take care of them. Some people look to mom and daddy or brother and sister or husband and wife. But David said, every morning, the first thing I do is I talk to the Lord and I look to Him by faith to take care of me. Every day, you'll start your day with prayer by faith. By faith, every day. You say, well, I don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. If you don't take time to pray, He'll make times you can pray. And you'll wish you had prayed when you had your own time to pray before you had to put you in a position where you had to pray. And that's why I read that poem. It may be one day you'll stand beside a graveside before you even realize how you ought to have been praying all along. Amen?
Yeah, come on.
Now you listen to me. There's a prayer of faith. And we as believers and even unbelievers, look, I don't care who you are. You'll thank God every morning He lets you get up and walk out of the house. You say, well, I'm not a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't care if you are or not. You'll look up to heaven and say, there's a God in heaven. That didn't just happen by accident. And I got up and I'm breathing, I'm walking, I'm talking, and I got a job to go to. And thank God, even though I'm not a believer, I thank God I'm still alive. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, some of the worst sinners in town do that. Amen? I'll talk to sinners. I say, are you a Christian? I say, no, but I pray. I said, what do you pray? They said, well, I pray at night. Now lay me down to sleep. They're looking to the Lord. They don't understand that. But they realize there's something bigger than them. See, everybody's got that little seed of faith in them that if we'll nourish it with the Word of God, it'll grow into something. It'll grow into salvation. It'll grow into fellowship with God. And by faith, every day, we'll look up. Look up from whence my help cometh. It comes from the hills. The Lord bringing my help. Amen. I don't look for the government to help me. Amen. And I've never really looked to anybody to help me. Even when I was lost and going to hell. People did help me. I'm not saying they didn't. And since I've been saved, people's helped me. But I look to the Lord and He moves people to help you. Amen. Number one, you ought to have that look of faith every day. How in the world can you go on? How can you live a life without looking up to heaven saying there's a God in heaven and He's been good to me. Sorry as I am, He's been good to me. And God, I give this day to you. I don't know what's going to happen, but I give it to you. And then if you'll do that, that'll lead you to Isaiah 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. In verse 22, He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You know, there is a look of salvation. Now, there's a look of faith. Just look up to heaven. Everybody can do that. But there's a look of salvation. He said, look unto me, and you'll be saved. Now, you can't be saved looking unto anything else. You can't be saved looking to your good works, or your church membership, or your baptism, or whatever you think is saving you. You've got to look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. Now, if you look to Him, you'll be saved. Now, a lot of people are looking at a lot of things to be saved from their situations. But if you look to Him for your salvation, He'll fix your situation.
Amen. Come on.
Come on.
That's right. Yep.
You say, well, I know a lot of people that's saved. Yeah, but they're exactly in the situation where He's put them, and they're happy there if they're saved. Amen?
Yep.
I tried to get a cup, but I kept knocking it off. Look, there's a look of salvation. And I'm going to tell you something else, too. You can look on people's countenance a lot of times still if they're saved or not.
Amen.
Don't tell me you're saved. You run around with that sour, mean, hateful attitude and face. Amen?
Amen. Yeah.
I mean, if we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, then why in the world would Christians want to look anything other than saved? Well, preacher, I don't want to be too religious. I'll run people off. Where are you going to run them? Hell number two. There's only one hell. They're already going to hell. How are you going to run them off? They need to be saved. They need to see somebody that looks like they're saved and behaves like they're saved and are happy to be saved.
Come on now.
Amen. That's good preaching, Billy.
Amen. That's the look of salvation. Some of us have it. People will walk up to you, and if you're saved, and out in public sometimes, people will walk up to you and say, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I could tell from across the room there's something about you. You look, the way you look, that countenance, your countenance. It's supposed to be the Holy Spirit shining through us. He says, "So let your light shine before men." Amen.
Amen.
There must be something there that people can see. If it's a light,
come on now.
The look of salvation. Now, could it be that you're not, you don't have that look because you've never looked to Him? You see, you can look at church membership and not have the joy of the Lord. You look to the baptistry, not have the joy of the Lord. Now, I'm not against church membership. I pastor. I think you ought to go every time the door's open. And listen, I'm not against baptism. I think you ought to get scripturally baptized.
Come on,
man. I'm not against partaking in the Lord's Supper. That's a command. He said we're to do that until He comes back again. I don't know why some of you lay out when I announce Lord's Supper. He said, do it. It's just like baptism. And listen, I'm not against good works. If you, James said, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Faith without works is dead. But those things don't give you that look of salvation. Those things are the results of your looking to Jesus for salvation.
Amen.
James 1:25. There's a look of faith, there's a look of salvation, and then I like this one, James 1:25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what he's saying? If you'll look to the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved and you stay that way and you live like it and you don't forget the Word of God, you be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer, did you know that you'll have a look of satisfaction? You have a look of satisfaction. Now, I'm satisfied in my salvation. I'm satisfied with my Lord. I'm satisfied with the Word of God that I have. I'm satisfied with being what I am, a Baptist. I'm satisfied with that. I'm not looking for anything else. There's people come through these doors and they'll come in here and I don't know what they're looking for, but they're not satisfied. And they go from church to church and place to place and religious group to religious group and they are never satisfied. You say, preachers think they're saved or not. I don't know if they're saved or not, but I know this. They're not living in that perfect liberty. They're not being an unforgetful hearer of the Word. They're not remembering what the Word of God said, whether they're reading it or whatever. But I know this. Once you get it all settled, you'll be satisfied.
Amen.
Danny likes Pepsi.
Yep.
You can't give Danny nothing else. He's satisfied. Why would you want to give that man a Sprite? Leave him alone. Though he has backslid, I saw him one day drinking one of them high power Mountain Dews. Y'all pray for him. He told me he was satisfied with Pepsi. Look, I like collard greens. In the past couple of months, collard greens and pig. I've eaten it over and over and over and over and over and over. And let me tell you something. I'm satisfied with that. Don't give me some kind of new salad. I like collard greens. Collard greens is redneck salad. Leave us alone. We don't need those little dainties. We got something that'll fill you up. Brother, you eat a bowl of collard greens with a ham hock or something kind of ham in it, and that old belly will just blow out. And you can lay over there in front of that. We got a fireplace, and we'll lay over there and sit over there. Because you're satisfied, amen? But give me a salad. 15 minutes later, I'm looking for a bologna and cheese sandwich or something. It don't satisfy me. But there is a look of satisfaction in the Lord. Now, in Bible college, I had to study all the cults. I had to. They thought, well, if you know what they mean, then you can preach against it or whatever. But here's my thought on that.
If you ever give me collard greens, I won't ever look at a salad. I know what satisfies me. Jesus Christ marched the field, 1978, about 12:15, satisfied my spiritual longings, and I've never needed anything else. He has fulfilled me. I'm satisfied. And I'm not going to forget that. The Word of God brought that, and I'm not going to be a forgetful hearer of the Word of God. If you don't watch out and you don't eat collards but once a year, you'll forget how good they are, and you'll start going after them salads. And then come New Year's, you eat those collard greens again. You say, man, why haven't I been eating this all year? I can say the collard greens don't agree with some of you. Yeah, I mean, northerners and foreigners and stuff. But I'm sure there's something that satisfies you. Amen? Amen. Jeffrey's satisfied with beef. Don't offer him lamb. He likes beef. Amen? Now, when you get saved, and you... Now, look, not just saved, but get in the Word... and get in the work of the Lord, which is helping other people get saved, you'll be satisfied. Here's what happens. People get saved and they forget how good it is because they don't go to church like they ought to.
Right.
People get saved and they forget how good it is because they don't read the Bible like they ought to.
Right.
They'll get saved, and as time goes on, they're forgetful hearers. They forget what all God's done for them, and they're not satisfied anymore, so they go church to church, and then they may even end up in a cult somewhere. Some of you have been in cults. Some of you grew up in church, in cults. And you never were satisfied. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But then one day you met the Savior. And He fulfilled you. And now we can look at you and see the look of satisfaction. Mormons come to my house. They're usually two young men. And they'll knock on my door. And I'm nice. I'm not a mean fella. I go to the door and I say, hey, fellas, you really don't want to talk to me. Oh, yeah, we do. I said, no. I'll hurt your feelings. I'll offend you, and I don't want to. No, you can't hurt our feelings. You can't offend us. I said, yes, I can. Well, how are you going to do that? I said, because I'm a born-again, saved child of God. I'm a Baptist, and I'm happy at what I am. And you belong to a cult. What? Cult? We don't belong to a cult. We belong to Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's a cult. But we carry a King James Bible, just like you. I said, yeah, but all them notes below the half of that page is the Book of Mormon, and you just don't tell people that. You're lying to people. And I said, you think you're going to become a god. You think if you get out here and do this and you do enough good works that just like you think Jesus Christ did, He evolved into a god, one day you'll be a god too. Well, yeah. I said, you think up in heaven, women, spiritual women, are having spiritual babies, so you need multiple wives so those spiritual babies, all those spiritual babies, will have bodies to inhabit, and those men can become gods too. And by then, they're usually mad. And I say, I'm going to tell you one other thing. I know if I die right now, I'm going to heaven. You can't know that. I said, I can know that. I said, I can show you in your Bible how to know it. So I take their half King James Bible, and I read the upper half. And I read 1 John 5, 11 through 13, and basically it says, this is written so you may know. And I said, I don't hope so. I don't think so. I don't even believe so. I've got the authority of God's Word. I know that you may know that you have eternal life. And here's how I know. He that has the Son has life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. March 5th, 1978, I received the Son. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And I said, I'm pretty dumb and I'm not that great a Christian, but that day I believed on His name, and I know according to God's Word I'm going to heaven. And I can see that look of dissatisfaction on their face. Jehovah's Witness comes to my house. God help them. And I say, you don't want to talk to me, I'll make you mad. No, you can't make us mad, because see, they're working their way to heaven. Well, they don't even believe in heaven. They're working their way to the new world. And, yeah, I'll make you mad. Well, how are you going to do that? I said, because I'm saved and I know it. If I die right now, I'm going to heaven. Oh, you can't know that. I said, I have faith in Jesus Christ. And then they quote James. James said, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. I said, okay, I have works. I believed on him. I have his works. But I'm going to show you in your Bible how to know for sure if you died, you go to heaven. I turned 1 John 5:11 through 13 and do them just like they do the Mormons. And they get mad at me and want to fuss and argue. And I said, do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? And they leave my porch with a look of dissatisfaction. I knocked on the door. One day this older lady came to the door, and I was a young preacher, but I was very respectful. And I invited her to my church. And she said she had a church. I said, that's wonderful. She told me where it was at. I said, that's a beautiful building. I said, but if you ever get a chance, come visit with us. I said, but I want to ask you something more important than going to church. She said, what's more important than going to church? I said, do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? She said, wait a minute, let me go get my Bible. I said, I wish you would. She went and got her Bible. I quoted that verse. She read it. And then she said, but wait a minute. I know I'm saved. Look here. Dr. So-and-so preached in 1945 at Calvary Baptist Church in Lancaster. And I heard him. And I said, I don't care if you heard John the Baptist. If you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're not going to heaven. But wait a minute, look here. I went to the Billy Graham Crusade, and here's what Billy Graham preached in 1958 somewhere. And I said, well, Billy Graham's a nice fella, but I got news for you. You must be born again. And she said, you don't sound like no Baptist to me, and slammed the door in my face with a look of dissatisfaction on her face. Amen. Now, some of y'all, if you're saved, you'll notify your face. Amen. Amen. I better go on. Proverbs 4:25. Boy, it used to be you could tell a Christian. They walk into the room, they light it up. Now they bring a cloud with them. Proverbs 4:25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, there's a look of perseverance. Don't look back. Let those eyes look right on. And look, don't look back. Let me tell you something. If you're in a foot race, you don't look back. You say, well, I'm worried about who's behind me. Don't worry about who's behind you. Worry about the finish line. Because if you turn around and look, you're going to trip. Don't look back. Some of you saints, you spend so much time looking back on your life that you can't be a good Christian because your back behind you looks so bad that you don't see what's in front of you. Amen? What you ought to do is look at where you are right now. Look right here. You have no business looking behind you. When he saved you, the Bible says he threw all your sins in the sea of forgetfulness, remember no more. Why do you go fishing there? Well, you don't know what my daddy did to me. Why don't you forget that and press on? Amen? Well, you don't know how my mama treated me. Why don't you build a bridge and get over that and just look forward and quit looking behind and quit blaming everybody else for your pitiful life in Christ because you refuse to look forward to the good things ahead. Amen? Well, my life's just been so hard. Yeah, but he saved you now. He's established you going forth. He's put you on a solid rock. Why are you worried about what used to be? You'll thank God for what is. Amen? And by the way, every bit of that was good for you. You learned something. Now you can share it with others so they don't have to see what you saw. Amen? Now you can tell us, you warn others, put up a stop sign every once in a while. While you're going forward, others are going that direction. You keep looking forward, you can turn some people around. Why do you want to keep dwelling on that past stuff?
Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, not in here, but I'm in churches where I hated testimony meetings. It wasn't nothing but a pity party.
They stand up, well, Pastor, I've had hard in my life, you know. And my mama didn't get me a bicycle. And my daddy didn't go fishing with me. And my teacher didn't give me an A+ when I thought I should have got A+. And my husband don't never tell me I got pretty eyes. And preacher, I've just had such a hard life, but I thank God I'm saved. Oh, shut up. just glorifying the devil. Well, Pastor, I grew up in a drunkard's home, and I was a drunk, and I drank a gallon of liquor a day, and I wouldn't pay my bills. And that ain't no excuse for what you are now.
We all had hard times. There's people in this room had it harder than you did.
Well, my church didn't give me no honor, and they didn't put the spotlight on me, and I got all these talents, and I have abilities, and they never would. Why don't you do something for Jesus for a change?
Amen. Come on.
Looking unto. That means forward. The author. And the finisher, it's done.
Well, I just don't know if I'm good enough. You'll never be good enough. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen?
We as Christians need to look forward and quit looking back. Well, Pastor, we've had hard times. And we do feel sorry for you. And we do have sympathy. And look, every once in a while we all get in a pit and have a little pity party. But he says, look up. He says, look forward. You know, 2018 might not have been that great. I'm 17 might not have been that good a year for you. But this is a new year. Why you want to drag the old one in here with you? Leave it. Now, if we went around this room and started telling all the hard times we've had, wouldn't nobody want to come to this church? Wouldn't nobody want to get saved? Why would I get saved? Look at that. Look at that. Why would I want to get saved? There is a look of perseverance. Did you know life is hard?
Yes.
And did you know sometimes you just have to persevere?
Yes.
All right, and I'm going to tell you a deep theological thought. Write this down somewhere. This is three words. Really, one of them is abbreviated, and it's Southern. So write down, Jeffrey. He writes all my Southern sayings now. This ain't heaven. Now, some of y'all live, compared to other people, you live in heaven. Let's just be honest.
Amen.
And you got mad because they didn't have your favorite hamburger the other day. And your kids got mad because you didn't take them to McDonald's or Burger King or somewhere like that. Brother Ron, me and you remember when a snack was crackers with mayonnaise or mustard on them because that's all that was in the house. Y'all ain't had no mayonnaise. Persevere. Press on. You see, we've got somebody that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll go with you to the end of the age. You know what that means? Good times or bad, he's there. He said, all things work together for the good of them that love God, them that's called according to his purpose, the good and the bad. Amen? Persevere. Did you know there's people right now sitting at home because something happened at church that turned them off, and they're saved going to heaven. But something turned them off and hurt their little feelings or offended them. And now, Brother David, they ain't sitting on the front pew. They ain't even sitting on the back pew. And I can tell you when it begins because I can tell by looking on your face. Come on. It starts with that look of dissatisfaction. And then you don't want to persevere. You want to blame it on everybody and everything else. And it's not that. It's either the flesh or the devil. And quit looking for excuses. Just press right on through it.
Amen. Come on.
Becky used to run cross country. Didn't you, Becky?
Little old short Becky run cross country. And she'd run and run and run and run and run. And I'd say, run, Becky, run, Becky, run, Becky.
She didn't always win, but she persevered and crossed the finish line. We didn't have to go find her on the back track, you know. She was always crossing that finish line. Amen?
Amen.
I think the greatest
one in the race is the one that finished last. Because the whole time they're running, Brother Billy, they know they're not going to win, and they keep running anyway. Give him a prize. Amen? Amen.
I got to hurry. Listen, I want you to look at John 4:35. I'm trying to help you. I'm talking about looks, okay? John 4:35. Say not ye. Don't say this, he said. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Don't you say that. Don't say the harvest is coming. Don't say that. He said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest.
And in another gospel, he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers, because the harvest is plenteous, but laborers are few. Did you know there's a look of service? I've seen people who could barely read or write, but they were saved by the grace of God. They loved Jesus. They loved their church. And they served the Lord the best they could do it. And usually it's better than those who were more educated and better off. There's a look of service. Danny was in the Marines. I've watched those Marine training things on TV. I ain't never been to one, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I watched them on. You was in the Marines too, wasn't you? We don't have to worry about nothing. We got one in the front and one in the back. We don't have to worry about terrorists here. Amen. We got the chosen. But I watch those training things on TV. Those guys, now let me tell you something. Those guys have a look on their face while they're doing that training. It's usually agony. It's usually pain. But there's a look of determination too. And then after they complete that training, and they begin to serve, there's another look on their face. A look of service. Service says, I'm going to be here. Service says, you can depend on me. Come, pardon the expression, but come hell or high water, rain, sleet, or snow, I'll be in, at my post right here. I'm going to serve. Nothing's going to deter me. Nothing. I watched another video recently. English soldiers with the big funny hats that stand at the castle guard, you know. They stand there, and usually you talk to them all. They don't look at you. They just... But this one guy kept getting up in this boy's face, and he just... He lost it. He beat that guy to a pulp. I would have too. He was spitting on him and cussing him, everything else. I'd have done the same thing. I think he was serving when he did that. It's serving society. But there's a look of service. Christians get saved. They get right with God. They get determined. They persevere. And all of a sudden, they've gone through the basic training. And now, preacher, how can I serve the Lord? They serve. However they can do it. Whatever that might be. Singing in the choir, playing the piano, playing a guitar, going to the nursing home, preaching, teaching, whatever it might be. Nothing else. Whatever. Prayer, giving, anything. And they've made up their mind, this is what God's called me to do, and I'm here to do this, and you're not going to change that, no matter what you say or do. I saw you come, and I'll be here when you leave. I've seen them come and go like that. And I'll be right here at my post because I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ through this local church.
Amen.
And there's a look on people like that. A look of determination and service.
Got to hurry. Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. Real quick, are you listening? Philippians 3:20. Not many were listening. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a look of expectancy. We're looking for something. We're expecting something. And we're looking to heaven for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back at any time. Now, that's why God's against worldliness. We got quiet on that one, didn't we? You see, if you get so wrapped up in the things of this world and the entertainment of this world and the fashion of this world and all the things that this world has to offer, you will not be expectantly looking to heaven
for Jesus Christ.
Come on now.
Because you've created your own little heaven right here, and you're not in a hurry for the Lord to come anymore, and we're supposed to be looking. Every day I'm disappointed he doesn't come. But preacher, I got people that ain't saved. That's his job. Every day I'm looking for him to come. But pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Look to Jesus to come. He is our deliverer. He's going to take us out of this mess. Amen? The problem is the old devil's lulled so many to sleep by giving them everything they ever want. By the way, the devil gives stuff too, you know. He took Jesus up on that mountaintop. He said, you see all that? Looks like Las Vegas down there. You can have it if you just bow down and worship me. And he'll do the same thing to you. He'll give you whatever it takes to get your eyes off of heaven. He'll give you whatever it takes to stop you from looking for Jesus to come at any moment. Because you see, if you quit looking for him to come, you're going to get laxed in your living. And you're going to get laxed in your devotion to him. And then nobody's going to be convicted or converted because of your lifestyle. Amen. Last but not least, 2 John. 2 John, there's only one chapter. 2 John, verse 8. Look to yourselves. Oh my goodness, did it say that? Look to yourselves. Now he's putting this one on you. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Now that's a look of warning. That's a look of warning. Now listen, I know the Bible teaches eternal life, everlasting life. You can't lose your salvation. But read that again, reward. You can lose your rewards. He says so many people trying to blame me or you about their lack of Christian living when they need to look to themselves for the blame on their lack of Christian living, because our living does not determine their reward or loss. Their living does. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm baptized. I belong to church. I go to church all the time. But I kind of served the Lord, and I would be a better Christian, but one time this preacher hurt my feelings. That ain't going to hold water when you get to heaven. He said, look to yourselves.
Amen.
Well, you know, my wife, she just doesn't respect me and honor me like she ought to as the head of the house. That won't hold water when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. He said, you look to yourself that you don't lose reward for those works. Could you imagine? Phil Donahue ain't around no more, but one time I watched Phil Donahue, and y'all remember him, don't you? The first reprobate on television, talk show. And some of you don't even remember him. Billy, you remember him? What a mess. And he had different groups on there at different times. And one time he had Husband Beaters Anonymous. It was women that beat their husbands. And their husbands was with them. I never would have come on that show. I never would have come on that show.
I wouldn't
let you. That's why women are commanded to be silent in the church. But these... get over it, okay? But these men and women got on there, and these men, little old wimpy. Man, my wife, she, if I don't sweep the floor right, she beats me. Can you see that man going to heaven and standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and he says, I didn't go to church because my wife wouldn't let me. This woman asked me one time, said, the Bible says we're supposed to obey our husbands, and my husband doesn't go to church. He don't want me to go. Should I stay home? I said, you need to go back and read that verse. It says, in the Lord. I said, your husband ain't in the Lord. He's lost. He's not saved. And he don't want you to go to church because he doesn't want you to live like a Christian, because then he'll have changed his life and it'll convict him. And I said, the Bible says obey your husbands in the Lord. I said, leave that sorry rascal at home and go to church. Well, preacher, that ain't the way Joel Osteen said it. Leave him off and go to church. You know what that is when I say leave him off? You all know. Now these kids don't know what I mean by turn him off. They got a button. But you know what? There is a look. There's a look coming of warning. We need to look at what we do as Christians, saved people. Because we can either receive a reward or we can lose it. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. Can't do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. As many as believed on Him, He gave eternal life. Eternal never ends. But you can lose rewards.
Right.
And there's some little 10, 12-year-old kids going to have more rewards than some 40, 50, 60-year-old Christians.
Come on, man.
Because they didn't take that look of warning.
Right.
You remember when you was a kid and you was sitting at the table or something, and you got misbehaving, or even at church, and your mama, she'd be sitting there and she'd go, or your dad, he'd go, you didn't want dad to look because you knew what was coming when you got home. Some ADD medicine. Amen. In case y'all didn't know, I was pointing at my belt. And I've got news for you. Sometimes the Lord gives us the look of warning. We better straighten up. Because see, He won't cast us off. He'll whip us. Hebrews chapter 12 says that God chastens His children.
God.
He don't cast us off. He chastens us. I've been there.
Amen.
Most of you have been there. We don't like chastening. And if you get a chastening, you'll lose that reward. That'll replace that reward to be that chastening. A fellow left out of here the other week. He said, preacher, every time I come to your church, I feel like you're preaching right at me. I said, I ain't, but keep feeling that way. That's good for you. Because that's God talking to you. Amen? This morning I was... in Sunday school, I was teaching on wives, Proverbs 31, women, virtuous women. And I saw some looks on some men's faces. That's good. I was teaching the women, but the men got convicted because they wasn't treating the women like they ought to, so she could be a virtuous woman. Come on, help me here.
Yeah, that's good.
There's a look of warning. One day, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that fear, that puts a little fear in me. I'm going to heaven. I've guaranteed. Ephesians said, I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's done. That's finished. But to look on the Holy of all holies in the whole universe and have Him judge me for what I did after I was saved, for reward or loss, and the whole universe see it. You're talking about coming out of the closet. Everybody in here's got skeletons you hope nobody ever finds. Even since you've been saved. And boy, to think about standing before that judgment seat and Him showing that to everybody that's ever lived and then judging me whether I should get a reward or a loss, that puts fear in me. Just like I know I was a father. I never would have cast off my children, but sometimes they should have feared judgment from me. That's what the Bible says. Now that's just some looks in the Bible. Now this morning I want you to put one of those looks on your face. How are you looking? How's it looking? How's the whole situation looking because of your faith or lack of faith, or your faithfulness or unfaithfulness? Are you persevering? Are you happy in Jesus? Satisfied. Believe it or not,
Most of the time, people can tell it by looking on your face. When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, "You look like a Christian"? When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, "Where do you go to church? I can tell you go to church." When was the last time on your job somebody came to you and said, "Look, a lot of people here go to church, but I know that you know the Lord and I need to ask you something. I need some help."
Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.